Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we talked about Joshua now marching around the walls of Jericho. This week seems like, in contrast, a totally different individual, somebody that was inside of Jericho as Joshua was marching outside and around. And I think a wonderful testimony to the grace of Almighty God. I think the more we talk about it tonight, the more we're going to be overcome by God's mercy and His grace. And He doesn't just save to the uttermost. One preacher said He saves to the guttermost. Amen. And so Rahab, saved by grace. And you'll meet her in heaven one of these days. Think about that. We'll talk more about where she ended up in life and all about that in just a minute. But let's just look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 31. Let's stand for the reading of this one verse, verse number 31. By faith the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Heavenly Father, bless our time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So interesting, of course, we go back to the same chapter that we went back to last time so that we can then see the story and read the story. But the Bible says, for we leave here by faith. Here's a woman that exercised faith. And that faith that she exercised saved her from destruction, because the command was that from God was that every single person inside of Jericho, they were to kill every single one of them. And yet God, in His grace, made an exception. So by faith, she exercised faith. Notice this, even though she made it to Hebrews chapter number 11, I want you to understand, folks, that part of her reputation landed there with her. And I'll be glad when we get to heaven, where we're all not only going to be able to forgive, but forget. And I do want to say this to young people, because I think sometimes we preach, and we should, forgiveness and God restoring and all of those things. But I want you to understand that there are certain prices that come with sin. There just is. And, you know, one man illustrated this. He took a board and he said, you know, you can, and he brought a young man up here and he said, I want you to just drive nails in this board. And he sat there and drove the nails. And he talked about the forgiveness of God and took a claw hammer and pulled out every one of those nails. And everybody's shouting and saying amen. But when he held up that board, guess what? You could still see where those nails had been. And folks, listen to me, young people. Just don't fall for this. Like, the devil can take even good news and try to, the truths of God's word and try to use them in such a way to make sin seem like it's not that big of a deal. But you know what? This reputation came with her over into Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, she's in the faith chapter, but she's also identified for what she was before. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. You know why? Because she believed. Because she believed. We're going to see that. And receive the spies with promise. Let's go back to Joshua now. Joshua chapter number 2. We'll go to Joshua chapter number 2 is where we'll start. And I want to talk a little bit about this situation and this lady that made it into Hebrews chapter number 11. Rahab the harlot. First of all, I want to direct your attention, chapter 2, verse 1, to the sad sin of this woman. I'm going to talk about the sin and the consequences of sin, because they're real. But you know what? I'm glad that that's not all of the story, or even the best part of the story, the major part of the story. But let's take a look at this. In chapter 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Later on, we're going to find out that these two men are referred to as two young men. And Joshua picked out two young men. They were quick, they were fast, they were sneaky. And just the kind that could pull this off. And so that they went in as spies. The Bible says that they ended up hiding out in a harlot's house by the name of Rahab. And we see, of course, in this verse that her sin is identified, but it's written down for all of us to read. How about that? Can I say something? Aren't you glad every sin you've ever committed isn't written down for the whole world to read? How about this? The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Hey, don't be quick to pick up stones. Don't be quick to pick up stones. Because my Bible says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. My Bible also says this in James chapter 2. Put your seatbelt on. For if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You know, I don't like this idea of trying to put sinners into categories. You know, that's a terrible sinner. I'm just a mild, middle-of-the-road sinner. No, we're all, sin's black, sin's wicked. Okay, sometimes we want to find somebody that has a sin that's easy to see and easy to condemn, makes us feel a little better. I'm not making excuses, by the way. I do want to say this, my time in inner city Chicago, and again, I'm not making excuses for, but I'm going to tell you this, it's not Hollywood stuff, it's not what you're watching in the movies when it comes to this idea of harlotry or prostitution. You know, a lot of these women that's doing this and involved in this stuff is doing it against their will. A lot of them were abused as children. I'm trying to give you the understanding of it, okay? Some of this started very young in life with an abusive relationship. A lot of these are women that are being controlled by a man and sold out by a man. And if she doesn't do what he tells her to do, he'll beat her, or worst case, they'll find her laying in the alley dead. Okay? And again, I don't know what her situation was. I'm just telling you, sometimes I think it'd be good for us to kind of take a step back, get involved. See, one of the things that'll help you to build a heart of mercy is to get out there on the front lines and actually work with sinners. Well, that person's this. Well, wonder why they became that. And by the way, if you'd have been born in that same circumstances, you could be that person. But for the grace of God, there I go. But by the grace of God, there I go. You know, I've walked by the drunks. I've walked by them on a Saturday night, lying in their vomit, clutching the bottle. But you know what? It could have just as easily been Jerry Ross laying there. Well, by the grace of God. And so what I'm saying is working with sinners, getting up on the front line, it doesn't make you soft on sin. Matter of fact, it makes you hate the devil is what it makes you do. But it also gets you an understanding of how wicked and evil this world is. Young people are being protected by it. Don't you for one minute think that what the devil has out there is better than what you have in here. It's just not true. But here's a situation where this woman, for whatever reason, ended up in this situation. And so we see the sin, and then we see the doom of this woman. In the first six verses of chapter 1, if you go back to Joshua chapter 1, the verse six verses, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise up over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that shall I give unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the going unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not, watch this, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them." Now, that means everybody that Joshua was going to face, they're doomed. Not a one of them's going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to defeat God's people. And so we know that not only is this woman sin, but there's a sin curse. There's a doom that's coming with that sin. Judgment's on its way. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Jericho was under the condemnation of death. Over to Joshua chapter 6. Look at verse 20 and 21. We see very specifically Joshua chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword." And that would have been We're going to find out there was an exception, but that would have been the story of Rahab the harlot. That would have been the end of her life right there. You know why? Because of sin. Let's look at the principles. Here's sin. Here's doom connected to sin. And folks, we go out every week and we look for an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. You know where we've got to start? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what we have to then go to next? For the wages of sin is death. And so this woman is in very much in the same situation that each and every one of us found ourselves in before we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Yeah, there's a doom that's connected with the sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now we're going to talk about grace in a minute here. Praise God for the grace of God. We're going to talk about grace. But I want to remind you that, folks, we can look at her situation and we can look and see ourselves in that mirror, because we have all sinned. And if we got what we deserved, if Jerry Ross got what he deserved, you know what? I'd spend all of eternity screaming and begging for one drop of water. I'm going to tell you, that sure makes me appreciate all that the Lord did for me. And that's true of every single one of us. And so we start out with the story of a woman that's a sinful woman, a woman that there is a doom and a destruction coming into her life because of this sin. And then we see, number three, the smart decision of this woman. The smart decision of this woman. You know, you can make a lot of really bad decisions in your life, get yourself in a mess, get yourself drowning in sin. But you can make one smart decision that will turn your life completely around and change the course of your life. Haggai, the prophet, wrote this in chapter 1, verse 5, and then again in verse 7. Let me read both verses. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Then two verses later, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I think at some point she will talk about the influence of these two spies. They came in to reside in her house. And so that means she spent time with them. That didn't mean they just ran in the door and she hid them. They were abiding in her house. That's what they used, the place they used to hide. And these two young men had made an influence on her. But she began to consider the condition of her life. You know what I like to say, and I say it often, I say to folks, you know, if you're living a life without God, and you're living a life without Jesus Christ, you're trying to tackle this thing called life in a way that God never wanted you to or intended for you to. By the way, how's it going? How's it going? You can keep going on without God, but how's that going? Or you could find God and your life be turned around and changed. You know, we've watched it happen here over and over and over again. God still loves lost sinners, and God still saves old sinners, and he still salvages lives. And it's a wonderful thing to be a testimony of the grace of God. But you have to consider, she had to stop and consider the condition of her life. And then I think she took her life and the way she was being treated and what she had to do and the mess that sin had created. And then all of a sudden, here these two young men come in. Now, these are Israelites. They believe in God. All right, listen, I'm going to be careful, but I want to say some things. They're not like the average men that walk through that door. And they treated her in a whole different way. And I think there was a difference in their appearance. I think it was a difference in their countenance. I think it was a difference in their mannerisms. I think she was looking at those two young men like, I didn't even know men like this existed. You know what I think? I think that they said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I think they treated her with respect. I think that they were kind. I think when she fed them, they thanked her for it and took some coins out and paid her for it. No, you don't have to pay me. No, ma'am, no, ma'am. We always pay our way. Thank you for allowing us to hide here. Thank you for sheltering us. See, the men of Jericho who entered her house treated her with anything but respect. Listen, she was used by her own people, abused by her own people. She was looked down upon, whispered about, talked down, pointed out, cursed, mocked. These two men who enter her house treated her with kindness. They offer compassion. Watch this. And then they told her of a better life and a better way. Now, folks, that's our mission. That's our mission right there. And you know what? As we interact with the world, we interact with the, I want to say this to our men. When we interact with the ladies of this world, they should not see in our eyes the same thing they see in lost pagan men's eyes. They shouldn't hear come out of our mouth the same kind of things that are that lost men say. Come on, men. What's going through our minds should not be the same things that goes through the minds of lost men. Okay, ladies ought to be treated preciously. I don't care what kind of, how they're dressed, or I don't care what they look like, or I don't care what their lives are like. When they interact with a Christian man, it ought to be an experience that causes them to stop and consider their ways. And then use that testimony as an opportunity to introduce to them a better way. Give them hope, you know, that not everybody's like the world. Not everybody's like this. How about this little poem that someone wrote? I love it. I keep it where I can read it often. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongues but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. Listen, we are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? And I don't know all that happened in that woman's life, but she only got a chance to meet two young men, thinking about our young men around here, two young men. And they walked into her life, and she spent, I don't know how many hours they were there. I don't know the time frame of how long they were there. But in that little bit of time, something inside of her said, whatever they have, I want. And whoever their God is, I want to be on his side. And so we have that same opportunity each and every day. That's why I want to say again, whether you're a man or you're a woman, when the lost interact with us, they should not feel like they're interacting with lost people. There ought to be such a difference in the way we treat people, the way we talk to people, and how courteous we are, and how kind we are, and how compassionate we are, how caring we are, how honest we are, that they would say, you know what? I didn't even know people like that existed anymore. I tell this story every once in a while, but took the teens, that's been a long time ago, put them on a bus and was taking them to some conference somewhere, who knows, and stopped at a gas station, and kids come, jumped out, and they all want to go in and buy something to drink or eat or use the restroom and all of that. There's nothing as funny as watching some poor gas station attendant by herself, and here comes, you know, 35 teens walking in the gas station all at once. So I always had fun with it. I'd always say, okay, as soon as I walk in the door, they'd all be behind me. Okay, scatter out and shoplift. That's what I always say, relax. And a lady would look at me, I'm kidding. These are good kids. You don't have to worry about anything. She's thinking about losing her job. And they went in there and did their thing and you know, got their stuff and just were being them, having fun. But you know what? They were different. They were different. And the guy that ran the Frito-Lay truck was there. And he just sat there and watched our teens. And one of them went over and gave him a gospel tract, talked to him a little bit. And then, you know, we were getting ready to pull out. And I was counting, making sure Caleb Hall was on the bus. We had a habit of leaving him on a regular basis. But getting ready to leave. And all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door. We opened the bus door. Here he's standing there with a couple of cases of Frito-Lay's potato chips, individual packs of all kinds. And he said, hey, and I stepped out, can I help you? He said, yeah, you give these out to your kids as they're traveling. I don't know where you're going. And he literally said, these are his words. I didn't even know young people like that existed anymore. Listen, folks, I don't get this. I don't get this Christianity that wants to look like the world. I don't get this Christianity that wants to talk like the world. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. And by the way, God doesn't get it either. That's not his intention. And you know what? We ought to be different. You know, one lady one time got frustrated. Preacher, well, how different do you think we ought to be? Different as light is from darkness. Come on, stop trying to find the middle road. Stop trying to see how close to the edge you can get. You know, they ought to be like light and darkness, man. And I'm going to tell you, this is where the house they walked into was as dark as it gets. Okay, I've walked in these type of homes. I know what I'm talking about. When you can just feel it in the air, when you can feel the satanic presence in the air. But you walk in there and you shine. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And all that the devil's trying to do to distract and destroy flees. And you stand there and tell them of a better way. Do they all believe it? No. Are they all touched by it? Yes. Look at their faces. Even the ones that won't accept it stand in awe of it. That's the opportunities we have. I'd love to have been there just to watch that interaction. Watch those two young men. I don't know. People say, well, you know, was that a good place for them to have gone or not? I don't know. I'm going to tell you this, folks. When I went to Chicago, looking back, I realized sometimes I was in situations and I was so naive, I didn't even know till later on what was going on. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not sure that they didn't stop somebody on the street and say, hey, is there a place that rents out rooms? And the guy looked at these two guys. Yeah, right over there, buddy. All right, thank you. I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, it's good to be simple concerning evil. It's good to be simple concerning evil. I don't know whether they knew, they didn't know, whether or not they just said this will be the last place somebody looked. I have no idea. I've heard all kinds of theories. I don't know. I'll get a chance to talk to them, interview them one of these days, and then I'll come over and let you know. Okay? But I don't know. All I know is this. You know what? When they come walking in that house, they made an impact. They made a difference. And so that's what's available to every single one of us. But listen, if you're saved, you gotta let that salvation that started in your heart, you gotta let it work its way to the outside. Okay, Jesus Christ didn't just save you so that you'd stay the way you are. He saved you so he could transform you. So you could be a walking testimony to every lost person out there of just what God can do. But you've got to let him do it. You've got to let him do it. You got to let him change you. What was the words of Christ? Here they are. Ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but be cast out to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. She saw a difference in the servants of God. So she considered the condition of her life, and then she considered the kindness of the spies. I like this. She compared the deities of both people. All right, we have our gods, they have their God. Okay? And you see that she discusses this, that it's talked about in Joshua chapter 2, if you go back there. In verse number 8, Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, watch this. I know that thee, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Ooh, how about that? I think she maybe went over to her little corner where she keeps all her little idols, and she looked at them and thought, what good have they ever done for me? When have they ever answered a prayer? I sacrificed to them, and you know what? They sacrificed me. And she thought, what am I doing? I know what grandma taught me, and I know what mama taught me, and I've watched generations here pray to these little silly things, and They don't ever do any good, but here comes a people and they serve one God. He is the Lord. He does great things. He does miraculous things. And if being with him makes you like these young men, wonder if it's too late for me. I wonder if it's too late for me. Woo, come on now. Isn't that good? Folks, there's only two sides. There's only two gods. One is the creator God, the triune God, Jehovah God. The other is the prince and power of the air, the evil one, the dragon, the roaring lion, the fallen archangel, the one called Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Guess what? Choose you this day whom you will serve. At some point, you got to make a choice. You think about and you read about the devil, you might want to do some research before you choose. He's a murderer. He's a liar. Always has been, always will be. He's destroyed every life that he's been able to get a hold of. Why would you sign up with him? And you know what? When it came down to it, she just made the smart decision. You know what she said? She said, I'm casting my lot with this group. I'm casting my lot with these two young men. I'm going to turn to their God. So she hid the spies. She saved their lives. She trusted their God. She pleaded for mercy. She struck a deal. She struck a deal. And she basically told them, all right, listen, if I help you, could you help me? Could you help me? Now, here's these two men. Understand the situation these two young spies are in. Because they heard and knew the commands of God. They knew that every person in Jericho was supposed to be killed. And yet here's a woman that's saying, but if I believe, but if I believe, but if I turn, but if I trust. Now, they can't run back and say, well, hold on, we've got to go talk to Joshua. But they didn't need to talk to Joshua. You know why? Because they knew Joshua was God too. And they knew that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. They didn't have to go do research on that. But they wanted to make sure that her belief was sincere. Her faith was real. So when they struck the deal, they said, okay, all right, we'll go back and we'll stand up for you. You stood up for us, we'll stand for you. But when the armies come, you and whoever else you want to have their lives spared in your house, you get into your house and you shut the door and you don't open for any reason until one of the two of us are knocking on your door. And then they let her, she put out a red cord, scarlet cord. How about that? Was that an accident? Scarlet cord. And she let him down that scarlet cord. And then they said, hey, you leave that hanging out that window. So all of the armies, we'll let them know. We'll let Joshua know. We've struck a deal. But later when they came back and he said, how'd it go? Hey, it went good. This is what we found out, this and that and the other. Okay. Is there anything else? Yeah, one more thing. Okay, we met this harlot. You what? Well, we didn't really realize that. Listen, Josh, we're doing the best we could. Okay, anyway, we kind of made a deal. You what? Let me tell you about her. Let me tell you. Listen. Let me tell you what we've seen in her eyes. Let me tell you the words she spoke. Let me tell you what we felt the sincerity of her heart was. So here's the deal, and you know what? I thought as Joshua listened to that, and they talked about that scarlet thread. See, folks, Joshua was in Egypt 40 years before when Moses showed up and said, hey, the death angel's coming. Think about that. I think Joshua's sitting there going, man, I don't know, you know? Then all of a sudden he thought, well, wait a minute. There was a time when God was going to send the death angel, but he made some exceptions. Not all of the firstborn died that night when the death angel came. And you know what Moses told us? He said we had to take that lamb that was out blemish. We had to slay that lamb and take that blood. We had to put it on the doorpost. And when they saw the blood on the doorpost, that scarlet blood on the doorpost, I will pass over you. And I think he's sitting there thinking, well, it sounds like God. Sounds like mercy. Sounds like grace. I mean, that death angel went past my door that day and kept moving. You know what? How in the world can we do any less? And so, you know what? He said, all right. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his dues. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb. And he will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, whatever happened to Rahab? Preacher, I know the rest of the story, and I know that the walls came tumbling down, all except the section of the wall. Did we talk about that last week? Except for the section of the wall, there were a few houses. When they dug it all up, there were some that didn't fall. There was a few that didn't fall. And God knows what part of the wall to knock down and what part of the wall to keep safe. And here they come up, and there's that scarlet thread. And by the way, the door's shut, and they won't answer it no matter who pounds on it until those two boys come. And they're hollering and calling her by name. Can you imagine? She opens, tears running down her face, scared to death. What Joshua say? What'd he say? By the way, Joshua, his name means Savior also. Study it out. What Joshua say? What'd the Savior say? What'd the Deliverer say? He said, as long as you had that scarlet thread, it's a deal. Y'all come with us. My family too, everybody that's in this house, y'all come with us. Say, preacher, whatever happened to her? Well, listen, she forsook her former life. I know that that's still mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Folks, listen to me. I don't think it's mentioned to condemn her. I think it's mentioned to give everybody hope that no matter what you've done in life, you can end up in a good place, in a blessed place. I don't care what is in your past. I don't care how much you've messed up. I don't, preacher, if you knew some of the sins I've been, I don't care. I don't care. She forsook her former life. Come on, did you hear that? That didn't mean that she said, well, I'll go with the Israelites, but then I'm going to go back to doing what I did before. She forsook her former life. She started fresh. She started clean. She went from being the devil's plaything to a hero in God's family. The Bible tells us that she dwelled from that time on with the children of God. By the way, the Bible also tells us that she fell in love with a Jewish man by the name of Salmon. We know that God gave them a baby boy. His name, they named him Boaz. Did you hear that? Is this all sounding familiar? We know that Rahab eventually became the great-grandmother of King David. We know that there are only two women who are mentioned by name in Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah and Eliab, whom Peter, when he's writing his epistle, said, hey, even as Sarah, all you ladies better look back at Sarah. You want a godly example? You want a godly example? Sarah, there's Sarah! And then let's see, what's the second woman we can put in Hebrews chapter 11? Do you understand that God just showed you the scope of His love and the scope of His grace? And by the way, it took the same blood that Jesus shed to save Sarah as it did to save Rahab the harlot. And you know what? Come on, the same sin. I don't care, it may have been a different sin, but Sarah's sin would have sent her just to as hot of a hell as Rahab the harlot's sin. And just see the whole scope of the grace of Almighty God. Think about that. This Jericho harlot, now reborn, now God forgiven, now blood bought, now a new creature. Her portrait is hung beside that of Sarah in the Hall of Faith. Wow. Say, preacher, how in the world did something like that happen? I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Preacher, how does something like this happen? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Preacher, how does a miracle like this happen? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Therefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Preacher, how does this happen? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not by yourself, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know what? You know why God loves saving somebody like Rahab? Because every time in all eternity future that that woman walks by the throne of grace, you know what? She is going to show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Some of you in this room, you say, preacher, I don't have that background, but I've got a background that's not similar to what these kids are experiencing. Preacher, I wish that I didn't do certain things or didn't walk certain paths, or I wish I'd have got saved earlier before. Let me just stop and let you know something. You are very, very important to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We need your testimony here as much as we need the testimony of some kid that's born into a Christian family and saved at 6 years of age and just been raised up in it. You see, there's going to be, as long as I'm pastor, Lord, and with God's help, please, there's going to be red buses picking up people that doesn't have the same opportunity that our kids have here. And they need to walk in here. And if all they ever saw was a bunch of adults that never had to face what they had to face, never maybe messed up in the way they messed up, they probably wouldn't feel like there was much hope for them. But I need you here finding those kids, finding those teenagers, taking them out to eat, watching them as they start dropping off a little because they're losing hope. Somebody's got to go by and pick them up and say, hey, let me buy you lunch and let me talk to you. Well, you just don't understand. I might understand more than you know. Are you listening? I might understand more than you know. And if God can save me, I just don't feel like I fit in there when you come sit by me. Because if I fit in, you fit in. And we all fit in. You know why? Because God's grace is amazing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time. I love this story. I love that you included Rahab in this great chapter. Lord, I thank you that last week we got to join Joshua outside of the walls of the city and march with him. And man, what a man of great faith. We got to watch him have that pre-battle encounter with the captain of the host. Lord, a whole different picture, a whole different story. But Lord, thank you that right after that story in Hebrews chapter 11, we're quickly ushered through the gate into Jericho, into the worst of the worst of the worst part of town, to a house of ill repute, to meet a lady who was going to become a trophy of grace, who exercised faith, and you rewarded her for it. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to be thankful always, no matter where we came from. No matter what our past is, Lord, you had to save us all the same way. And may we be thankful for the grace and mercy of Almighty God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.